Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Quick rant of truth for you today on the Federal Reserve. Not because I've particularly been looking into it, but because I found just like a hilarious definition of what its mission was. Like its stated mission. Laughable on its face versus what it's done. And so I thought, let's go down this path very quickly. So I'm studying just in a non-political context, just trying to study more for purposes of having on my resume and my background some different certifications that are closer to, you know, business and securities industry and these types of things. So on SIEPracticeExam.com, we're going to look at one of the main missions of the Federal Reserve. We'll laugh about it, and then we'll compare reality versus the mission, and we'll laugh some more and maybe bring in some specifics. So on SIEPracticeExam.com, we have a nice study guide, and it says the Fed was established in 1913 under the Federal Reserve Act and is the central bank of the United States. It was created by Congress with a mandate to maximize employment, stabilize prices, and moderate long-term interest rates in order to provide a safe and healthy monetary and financial system. All right, its duties have expanded since 1913 and now includes regulating banks, maintaining the stability of the financial system, and providing financial services to depository institutions. So provide a safe and healthy monetary and financial system. And that second one, which was stabilize price. Stabilize prices, really. That's what it says. So that means prices are supposed to be stable. I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm getting from it. So if we're wondering whether or not they kind of pulled that out of their butt, here we have ChicagoFed.org. The two goals of price stability and maximum sustainable employment are known collectively as the dual mandate, from the Federal Reserve Wikipedia. Congress established three key objectives for monetary policy in the Federal Reserve Act: maximizing employment, stabilizing prices, and moderating long-term interest rates. The first two objectives are sometimes referred to as the Federal Reserve's dual mandate. So let's talk about that. Stabilize prices, huh? Stabilize prices. Let's go to a CPI inflation calculator. This one in 2013dollars.com is the name of the website. However, at the top, you have a CPI inflation calculator. You can put in an amount, a start year, and an end year. So if you put in 1913 and 2022, it tells you that $100 in 1913 is worth what $2,998.06 is worth today. That is, the U.S. dollar has lost 97% of its value since 1913. Does that sound like price stability to you? $100 in 1913 is equivalent in purchasing powers to about $2,998.06 today. See, I'd like to reverse that. What takes $2,998.06 to purchase today only took $100 in 1913. Price stability. Today's prices are 29.98 times higher than average prices since 1913. This article updated October 13th, 17 days ago, October 13th, 2022. It seems possible because it's kind of odd that this would show up with an article, that this is almost like data driven and updates based on the data, and it just pops in there. The rest of it is, just a form. So, yeah. What can I tell you, man? 29 times as expensive, almost 30, literally just short of 30, and might be 30, as things were in 1913. Oh, that's some good stabilization. So if we were to stabilize, we'd expect that sometimes, first of all, we should see a nice little very, very tight graph on prices over years. Sometimes they go up a hair. There's going to be a little bit of lag with detecting and correcting, absolutely. So we might expect it to go up a little bit, down a little bit some years, up a little bit, down a little bit. And so that would mean, shouldn't we have some deflation sometimes? And the answer is, we really don't. Now, this article, I'll get to something else that covers this too. On the Investopedia, were there any periods of major deflation in U.S. history? Well, I don't know why they say major. It seems to be that they want to act like deflation is only bad, so they want to act as though it's crazy. It's crazy when deflation happens. And they say right here, this is interesting. First of all, they're wrong, but second of all, even that it's even close is hilarious given the mission. Given the mission. Now, remember, what was the mission again? The mission. Stabilize prices, maximize employment, and moderate long-term interest rates. In order to provide a safe and healthy monetary and financial system. Okay. And so what does Investopedia's article say? It says that the most dramatic deflationary period in U.S. history took place between 1930 and 1933 during the Great Depression. Wait a second. What about the whole stabilizing prices thing? What about the safe and healthy economy thing? The Great Depression occurred 17 to 20 years after this wonderful policing instrument came into play to stabilize prices. Oh, and then we had the Great Recession too. Guess what was still there to police and help us stabilize prices during at this time? Well, the Federal Reserve. And now it's funny because now think about this. Inflation literally means the dollars you have are worth less. It is the invisible tax of coward legislators. As the government gets ever, ever less responsible, as it goes to favoritism capitalism, which is not capitalism at all, as more and more money is spent because people are being, palms are being greased by the very dollars that are already the favoritism capitalism, not true market profit. And then you get worse and worse. As you have that, then you have more debt spending. The debt spending then says, hey, Federal Reserve, can we borrow some money? And the Federal Reserve says, yes, we'll make some. We'll create it. Poof! All right, now we just created $1 billion. And we had some small fraction of that, but not much. Thank you for allowing us to make almost all the money that now we get to, quote, lend to you. Without your signature, without say-so, we wouldn't have even had it to lend to you. Wait, you didn't have it? You're not the responsible party here? No, we're not the responsible party. We only have to have some small fractional reserve. And therefore, once you sign on the dotted line, the opposite of a true bargain, if you look up contract law, is supposed to be approximately equal. Not only did you give them the money, the balance on their side by signing, then you also obligated yourself to paying, quote, paying that back and plus interest. So in debt spending, we have what should be instead a substitute. I'm sorry. In debt spending, legislators don't have to increase, quote, tax rates. You see it. We're in the middle of campaign season. Everybody's like, oh, of course, he didn't increase taxes. She didn't increase taxes. He increased taxes. She increased taxes. No, no. The Federal Reserve did. All of you jackasses did when you said it's okay to create another $3 trillion. You did tax us. Okay? Our money is worth less. In essence, we have less take-home money. You did increase taxes through inflation. So where's the price stabilization? Where is it? And so let's point to another interesting file here. And you can find this in many Wikipedia articles. U.S. Historical Inflation Ancient.ASVG. And I don't know why it says that, but the data comes from the description of historical inflation using data from pre-1913, the McCusker study, post-1913 CPIU annual averages. Pre-1774 data can be found in how much is that in real money, a historical price index for use as a deflator of money values in the economy of the United States, McCusker. And so, you can find this in the following articles. I believe it says what articles it's in. If you look up deflation or economic history of the United States or economy of the United States or inflation or the Great Deflation, United States Consumer Price Index, and so on, you will see this. And basically, the vertical axis has a 0% up to 40% plus and goes down to about minus 20%. It shows since 1650 all the way through. I don't know if it's updated. It looks like it's updated, but I'm a little confused on that. And you see whether or not it went into negative territory, deflation. And before 1913, you saw that there was an equal number of deflation years as inflation. And I can't remember if I said this time because I've tried to record this about three times, whether or not it was true that the biggest deflation happened during the Great Recession in U.S. history. Now, I did say that, and that it was not true. In fact, there's been other periods of as big of a deflation, several periods. So that's not correct. But we do see some stabilization, but we don't see any deflation. So all I mean by that is some of the inflationary spikes at different parts in the U.S. history were larger, but they were smaller, thinner spikes. They weren't as wide of spikes. And then after 1950, we don't have one deflationary period. So there you go for stabilizing prices. Not one deflationary period. Not one period of time after which, if you put $100 and then $100 and then $100 underneath your mattress so you could save on a house or whatever, that by the time you pulled it out, it was the same value that it was when you put it in there. Not one since 1950, although I expect we're about to have a deflationary period. Right now, it's massive inflation, but when the economy tanks, I think it goes in the opposite direction. And once people can't afford things. So there's your stabilized prices and what's really occurred. And in fact, you can say that, well, shouldn't you just be able to correct? Shouldn't you be able to correct very quickly? Yeah, you should be able to. All you need to do is have a proper inflation index, not one that's been Frankensteined and then tweaked just for lies like we do have now. And then literally, after you have a fully complex inflation index with enough pieces, you do compare apples to apples, literally and figuratively. And when your indicators go up enough such that you believe it's past statistical significance, then you put the correcting factor in play. But we don't do that. And the real reason for constant inflation is this. I've already told you. More debt is easy money for the banksters. So why would you ever want to really, really deflate? And the other problem is this. Go watch Money is Debt by Paul something. Classic. It's classic. And it's absolutely true. Money is debt. There's never enough money in the system to pay back the primary and the interest, which inherently leads to a larger money supply over a long period of time. Once in a while, it might go down. It's very, very, very rare. But over a period of time, it definitely increases. And you never have enough money to pay back the primary and the interest, which inherently built in means it is. You talk about an environmental problem. If you have to have productivity, just to have productivity, you have to have loans just to have them. You are inherently going to have inefficient loans and then bankruptcies, things that are really not meant to work. They're really not there yet, but the bankers don't care. It's not really the money that they're putting out to risk that they lend, because remember, it's a fractional reserve system. So there you go, guys. There's a good reason that we keep having inflation and not quick adjustments so that your $100 from 5 years ago is still worth $100. If you put $100 underneath your mattress every month, and then in, 50 months, all of a sudden you have $5,000, then, you know, that would be a good down payment on a house that back then was literally only 70% of what it is now. Nope, it's more like the good down payment is now worth only 3/5 of that, something like that. You know, 2/3 of that. That $100 you put in there month after month after month, your down payment is now as though you really only had $3,000 in down payment. But if you look at these things, I'll leave you with this last thing. It's quite interesting that if you look up deflation on Wikipedia, and I know Wikipedia, I tell you, man, it's not a lost cause, but it is tough to win the game. Now, deflation, just check out how this is. Because remember, the banksters want you to believe that, oh, well you want to borrow. Because borrowing enriches you. And you want, quote, economists to say, oh, well, we don't want to have deflation. Oh, but 30 times inflation is okay? Is there not a happy medium somewhere in here? Well, you don't want to have deflation, I tell you what. So they say, as to deflation, the Wikipedia article, it reduces the value of currency over time, but sudden deflation increases it. Now, why did you throw in sudden? First of all, inflation can be sudden too. So inflation reduces the value of currency over time, but sudden deflation increases it. This allows more goods and services to be bought than before with the same amount of currency. Economists generally believe that a sudden deflationary shock is a problem in a modern economy because that increases the real value of debt. Oh, wow. You're so compassionate. realizing that my loan is actually slightly harder to pay off if it's deflationary. But the whole idea is that it's close to zero. That's entirely different than on the other side of the balance sheet, you destroying my savings and destroying my wages. Doesn't that make a loan harder to pay off? A problem in a modern economy, because it increases the real value of debt. Implication? Making it harder for you to pay off your loans. Well, you know what else makes it harder for me to pay off my loans? My wage being worth less and less and less, and therefore me having to spend my money on all my other things. So, yeah, maybe happy medium, that would make sense, but not when you have... And what's happening now? Aren't you here to stabilize prices? Why are prices up, admittedly, 13 to 15% in 2 years, and in real terms, 25 to 30%? So there you go, as to the value of the incredible Federal Reserve, that's really just a scam, and that's why they're not meeting their basic definition. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Harley. Go ahead and follow and also like. You can email me at tysonharley1776@duck.com with show ideas, or just for saying hi, or if you'd like me to appear on another podcast or anything like that. All right, guys, thanks for listening.